Everyone needs a little introduction. Yeah, thanks. Well, it's nice to be back. It's been a year. It's been a good year for us. I hope it's been a good year for all of you. Let me tell you what I hope we can do tonight, and we're going to leave plenty of time for questions. I wanted to have a conversation with everybody here about Walmart's reputation, our relationship with external audiences, some of the issues that we've been working on around the world. So what I hope to do first is to share some of the metrics that we use to see how we're doing, to see what people think about us, to talk a little bit about why I think we've had a good year, what we've done outside in the world that's made a difference, talk a little bit about this thing that's happening in America in a week, the election, what role we've played in it, and then to talk a little bit about the agenda that the next administration, the next Congress is going to face, and how we think that'll impact our business and where we think we can participate. And then to take a little bit broader look at the world and talk about the issues that we as Walmart have chosen to focus on over the next few years, where we think that this company particularly can make a positive difference to our customers, our associates, and the communities in which we operate. And I hope when I'm done, there'll be at least three things in your mind. That this is a company that has a strong reputation that's getting stronger, that it's a company that's well positioned to participate in the debate that's going to happen in this country on the big issues in the next year, and that this is a company that really can make a positive difference around the world. So let me start with these metrics. And now I just have to find this. And just look at the first slide. Do you remember last year I shared with people our favorability ratings, which is the basic measure that we use to see what people think about us. And so this is a year-on-year comparison of those numbers, with 2008 in the back, 2007 in front. And I think you can see that in all of these demographics, we have either held our own or had a meaningful increase. And all the way on the left, you'll see a new demographic that I'm going to talk about in a bit greater detail later, the Walmart mom. And with that Walmart mom, we actually exceed this 89% favorability we have with our regular shoppers all the way up to 91%. So that's a pretty astounding number. And I think as, you know, and particularly in these two critical demographics. Another thing that we've tried to do is to look not just at our numbers, but the numbers that third parties use, third party outside validators. This is a survey from a company called Covalence that looks at corporate reputation through a variety of metrics. And if you look at the bottom star, which is when I stood here last year, and the star in the upper right, which is where we are today, you'll see that our reputation has gone up almost in a vertical line. And now to the point where you'll see that we are, in this survey, the third or fourth ranked retail corporation in this survey on reputation. So we're proud of that progress. We also try and take a look at how the press is covering us. Now, we think we're making a difference in the world, and the question is that difference, is that message getting out to people who watch TV or read the papers? So we've tried to go out and just measure how many stories are out there. And so this is a look at a handful of the sort of big stories in sustainability and health and wellness in the work that our foundation does in the community, and compare it against the sort of, quote unquote, the most damaging negative stories to us. And I think when you look at this, you'll see that the number of positive stories, really what our external audiences get to read and experience about us, far greater than the negative stories, practically 20-to-1 positive to negative. And I think that's a tremendous difference even where we were last year, where the story was still pretty positive. And the reason for that is because of what this company does. It's because of what we do that's meaningful and what we do that makes a difference. And finally, perhaps our most sort of cynical and jaded audience of all, reporters. So it's interesting to see what the New York Times, what Fortune, what Business Week has said about us in the past year. And I'm just going to read some of these, starting with the New York Times, saying that Walmart is bursting through political log jams and offering big picture solutions to intractable problems. Or Business Week, saying that Walmart has won plaudits among environmentalists. Or finally, Fortune, talking about our CEO, Lee Scott, saying that he transformed Walmart into one of the most progressive companies of the day. These are people whose job it is to take a look at us. And typically, I don't actually usually wake up in the morning looking forward to reading what they had to say. So when you get to see this, I think it's a real indication of the progress that the company has made. So, you know, what is it? What's been happening that's occasioned these results? And I think really it starts with what the teams talked about today and what the teams will talk about tomorrow that are responsible for the business. And that's the mission of this company, that we save people money so they can live better. And what I'd like to do for the rest of the time that we have today is to talk about both halves of that mission. The first half, saving people money. What we do in the stores so that people who have aspirations can go meet them at Walmart. But secondly, what we're doing in helping people live better, whether that's, again, through what they can purchase to have better clothes for their kids, to send their kids to school in a better way, to afford their prescription drugs, or what we're doing in the community, and to talk about how those things work together to make a real difference in the world and for us. Now, it's no surprise that the dominant issue, not only in the U.S., but around the world in the last several months, has been the economic situation. And it's the Walmart customer that really is in the middle of that. It's the Walmart customer, perhaps more than any other, that's squeezed by these economic conditions. If there's healthcare cost inflation, food inflation, increased costs of home heating oil or home fuel or gasoline, declining 401ks and declining home values, it's the Walmart customer that perhaps more than anyone else feels the pinch. And it's been Walmart that's really stood up for these customers, that has helped them day in and day out. And what we've seen is that government officials around the world are calling us because they want to understand what we see in the stores. They want to understand what we see in consumer confidence. And so they have come to understand not only the role that we play with these customers, but also the expertise that we have on these issues. And even more than that, what they've seen is that the Walmart brand really is synonymous with the concerns of these folks. And they've seen, as our customers have, that we're an advocate for people being squeezed in this economic climate. And that's been a very important recognition, I think, that many of us always knew who work here, but that the outside world has seen even more clearly. And then an interesting thing happened. The Walmart mom became the soccer mom of this campaign here in the United States. And so when pundits on both, or pollsters on both sides of the aisle or on both sides of the cable TV spectrum began to identify the voter who both parties should fight over, the voter that stood for the independent voter who is at the heart of this election, the voter that was up for grabs in this election, that was the Walmart mom. And that did a number of things. It put us again in our brand just front and center and legitimized that brand as speaking for that community. And so these are just some of the quotes. If you watch TV, you've seen these. But it shows, again, how Walmart speaks for those who are right in the middle of this debate. And it sent a message to these politicians and both parties that if you want to speak to the American voter who cares about these issues, if the economy is going to be the number one issue in this election, and you want to speak to those voters, then you need to speak and appeal to the people who shop at Walmart. Now, one of the interesting things that I try and look at is how many times Walmart was mentioned in this political campaign. And how many times he might have negatively been mentioned. And so this, for a lot of people in this room, not a great number, but for me, a really good number. So zero. The number of times we've been negatively mentioned by either party, either candidate in this presidential campaign, zero. But even more interesting, in the last few weeks are some things that have happened. Now, my son happens to be an advanced person in this campaign, and he was trailing around Sarah Palin a few weeks ago, and what did she do that day? She went to visit a Walmart. She made an unscheduled stop at a Walmart to meet Walmart moms. And she's done that a number of times in this campaign because that's where campaigning is occurring. Barack Obama, if you've seen his speeches in the last few weeks, as he talks about the middle class tax cut, and he talks about those people in America who might benefit from that policy, the heart and soul of working people in America. And he talks about firemen. He talks about nurses. He talks about teachers. And he talks about Walmart cashiers. And by putting us in that group of people who Americans are proud of, who go to work every day, who are the heart and soul of this economy, we think it's very important that we are in that way. Now, the Walmart mom was not our invention. It just came. It came to us out of those quotes that you saw before. But at the same time, we have participated in this election in a nonpartisan way. What we've tried to do is to reach out to the 140 million people who shop our store, the 1.4 million Walmart associates above the age of 18 who have the opportunity to vote in this election, and to encourage them to participate. And so in store number one today, you may or may not have seen, I saw it over there on the weekend when I was shopping, that in the checkout aisle, you may have seen a short public service announcement that encouraged the Walmart shopper and the Walmart associate to register to vote. And if you go to our websites, we've made it very easy for people to download registration materials and to vote. We were a sponsor of the first presidential debate in Oxford, Mississippi. So if you were a reporter who went there, you left with a very nice Walmart goodie bag. We also ran 15-second ads that you may have seen if you watch the cable shows during the conventions, during the debates, that talked about Walmart as being part of the economic solution. But perhaps the most interesting thing we did, and I think the most effective, is that we offered both candidates, we offered Senator McCain and Senator Obama, the opportunity to post videos on our websites, on Walmart.com, on WalmartStores.com, as well as our internal wire to speak to our associates. And we said, if you want to film a video to talk about the issues, if you want to reach those 140 million Walmart shoppers, if you want to reach those Walmart moms with a 91% favorability rating about us, if you want to reach those 1.4 million associates, we will post those videos on our website. And so both candidates agreed to do that. I don't think there's ever been a time where the candidates have chosen to talk to so many American voters through a portal offered to them by a corporation. And I think it shows the role that we play and the recognition of the role that we play with these voters. So what I'd like to do is just show you two quick snippets of those videos. The first is Senator McCain talking about healthcare. The second is Senator Obama talking about sustainability. So if we can show those.
These policies will be available to the self-employed and will be portable across all jobs. I am committed to leading the reforms needed to improve health care, expand access, and preserve Medicare and Medicaid for the next generations.
We'll encourage efforts that prove that the green way of doing business is the profitable way of doing business. Corporations like Walmart are doing their part to help by setting aggressive goals to power their stores with 100% renewable energy and using more fuel-efficient trucks that don't just dramatically reduce carbon emissions, but save millions at the pump.
Tell you, what I love about these is not only do both of these candidates take the time out of their busy schedule to record these just for us, but that you can have Barack Obama in that video call us out specifically for the positive contributions that this company has made. So what does that say in addition to what I mentioned before? It's an indication to us that, as Lee said earlier this year, that regardless of who wins this election, this company is in a position to participate in a positive way in that debate. And also, I believe that no matter who becomes president, that the next president and the next Congress will understand the role that we can play in moving these issues forward. So now I'd just like to talk a little bit about what some of those issues are. One of them is labor policy. I've had the opportunity to be asked a bunch of questions about this already since I've been here. But clearly, we're very concerned about what we call the Employee Forced Choice Act, which we believe, as it for the first time takes away the secret ballot in elections, takes away privacy in the workplace, injects coercion, is going to make it more difficult for America to succeed and for the American economy to succeed. It's going to be a burden on small business, it's going to be a burden on job creation, and a burden on America's competitiveness around the world. Our opposition to this bill is well known and clear, but I think what's encouraging is that what's happened over the last several months, and I'm confident will increase once this actual election is behind us, is that the number of small businesses, minority-owned small businesses, women-owned small businesses, small American manufacturing companies that recognize that the passage of this bill will be very detrimental is going to increase. And my point of view about this is that the proponents of this bill can only get weaker over time, because the more time that this bill is out there, the more time people pay attention to it, the more people really see what it can do, the more people will understand its negative impact. Let me talk about some other issues, health care. No matter who the next president is, there's a likelihood that this country will, for the first time in a long time, seriously address the health care issue. And Walmart, as you know, has been in the forefront of advocating for a responsible solution, working with the Service Employees Union, working with the Communications Workers Union, working with other major companies. We've been a leader at trying to bring this issue forward to improve quality, to improve access, but also to increase affordability. And if healthcare is passed, if we have a bill that reduces the cost of healthcare over time, that'll be good for Walmart as a provider of good healthcare benefits, because frankly, there are a lot of people in the retail business who don't offer their associates the benefits that we do, and a level playing field will help us. But also, if we can reduce the cost of healthcare and the healthcare inflation on middle-class Americans, and they have more disposable income in their pocket over time, That's good for our customer. Energy, a very similar story. Because of the work that we've done on sustainability, both in our stores and outside, it's clear to anyone engaged in this debate that we deserve a seat at the table. And we intend to be part of that conversation. But if the next administration of either party puts together a plan that over time helps control the cost of energy in America, that diversifies our energy base, makes America more independent, reduces the cost of energy over time, both for business and for customers, that's good for Walmart. And finally, economic policy. Let's take a look at, again, the biggest challenge that either candidate's going to face is how to get this economy back up. And so people are talking about stimulus packages, some of which may go directly to customers. They're talking about stimulus packages in this time that are actually geared more to the middle class. Some candidates are talking about tax breaks for small business. Others are talking about tax breaks that'll go directly to the middle class. Others for strengthening the earned income tax credit. All of those provisions put more disposable income back in the pockets of our customer. And I think it's our belief, as Eduardo showed you all today, that if middle-class, hardworking Americans have more disposable income, that Walmart will get its fair share. So I think it's important not only to understand the role that that this company has the ability to play because of the work we've done, but as you look at the agenda for the next year, look at it broadly. Because when you look at healthcare, you look at energy, you look at economic policy, as America deals with those issues, they're going to likely, we hope, deal with those issues in a way that's good for business and potentially particularly good for the Walmart customer. So take a broad look. You know, one of the reasons that we've done well and that we're engaged in this debate has to do with the second half of our mission, the live better part of the mission. And under Lee's leadership and the leadership of the other managers in this room seated with you, we've recognized that this company has both an opportunity and a responsibility to lead. That we have a certain ability because of who we are, our relationships in the world, and our customer base to participate and make a difference. And that's true not only in the U.S., but around the world. So when Mike Duke travels to Argentina and Brazil and has the opportunity to meet with the presidents of those countries, that's a very positive experience. They want Walmart in those countries. They recognize the jobs we create and the economic growth that we create. When our Mexican company celebrates its 50th anniversary of one of its core brands, the president of Mexico chooses to participate in that event. When we were in China last week in a summit that I'll talk about in a little greater detail, we had participation from 50 NGOs and from leadership of the Chinese government. And that's because these audiences recognize, because of the role we have played, the role we can continue to play. We've spent a lot of time ourselves trying to understand where we can make the biggest difference. That's going to make the biggest difference to our customers, to our associates, and our communities. And so you're going to see us focus in an even greater way around the world in three core areas. Sustainability, which I think you know and have heard a lot about. Associate opportunity. We already know that a Walmart job is more than a job, it's a career. But we're going to work even harder to give our associates the skills they need to succeed, whether they grow at Walmart or they leave us and go somewhere else in this workplace. And finally, responsible sourcing. Because we understand that with the supply chain that we're part of, the partnerships that we have with our suppliers, we can help build a more ethical and more environmentally responsible supply chain. So I want to very quickly go through these. I think you know our sustainability story, but it's just worth stopping and highlighting just some of the accomplishments and leadership of the last several months. Whether it be in plastic bags, where we pledged to reduce our plastic bag waste by 33%, whether it be in the work that Jack Sinclair and Dee Dee and Pam are doing in grocery, where we are now the largest supplier of locally grown produce in the United States, whether it's the completion of the work that was done on compacted laundry detergent, which revolutionized an entire category. Whether it's the work that we're doing on packaging around the world, we continue to make a very meaningful difference. In associate opportunity, we continue to give our associates the kind of benefits and support they need in addition to their work. Our associates are sharing in the success that we've had as a business. And I'm sure as you've traveled the store and you've talked to our associates, particularly during these difficult economic times, they appreciate a job at Walmart. They appreciate the security of that job. They appreciate how good they feel making a difference to their neighbors when they come in. And they appreciate the fact that as we do well, they do well. But we're going to do even more in that area. As I mentioned, we are going to do more to give our associates the tools they need to succeed and grow at Walmart. Responsible sourcing. Many of us were in China last week for what was a tremendous event. We had over 1,000 suppliers, 50 NGOs, about 100 media, representatives of key ministries in the Chinese government. And Lee and Mike and Ed Chan, who runs our China operation, laid out the expectations that we have for our suppliers to help us build this more responsible supply chain and what we're going to do in our stores to become the most sustainable retailer in China. I don't believe any other company could have convened that meeting, could have had that attendance, could have had people listen to that message with the seriousness in which they did. And to leave that meeting understanding that not only would this be good for the Chinese environment, be good for the world environment, but would be good for our customer, because it'll mean higher quality products, it'll mean deeper relationships with our suppliers over time, and it'll mean, over time, a reduction in costs of what we can sell. So it was just a great event, because as Lee knows, I'm a person who spends a lot of time on my BlackBerry. I was looking at my BlackBerry during dinner, and there was a story that's going to appear tomorrow in the Financial Times that I actually want to read just a little bit of. So this is an op-ed piece in tomorrow's Financial Times, and the headline is, "An Ethics Lesson from an Unlikely Quarter." It's easy to imagine, and I'm just going to read the beginning and the end. It's easy to imagine corporate social responsibility being the first fad that companies abandoned during the downturn. The disappearance of corporate responsibility seems a plausible prediction, except that one company last week pledged to continue taking it seriously. And because that company is Walmart, the world's most powerful retailer, thousands of other companies will be forced to take it seriously too. Last week, Walmart laid out the standards by which others will judge it, and at the same and in a time of such uncertainty, that's a bold move. So I think that made all of us engaged in that event proud of what we've done and the fact that we were willing to put ourselves out there and be held to some real expectations. So I've just tried in this time that we've had to walk you through, as I said, both halves of this mission to give you a sense of what we're doing to help people live better, give you a sense of what we're doing to help people save money so they can live better. And as Lee said earlier at the shareholders meeting, what's most powerful about this mission is when both sides work together, because that's when you unlock the real power of this company, the real power of the over 2 million of our associates around the world. And I think that all makes us feel like we're making a difference. But in this audience, I think it's important for you all to know that it's important for our business, too. It makes our associates proud to work here, helps us recruit people and keep people. It helps our customers bind more closely to this brand and have greater trust with us over time. It helps community leaders understand the role that we can play so that we can be part of these debates on issues that will affect our future. And it gives us the opportunity to enter new markets and grow and expand this business as a welcome neighbor into the communities in which we want to operate. So that's a sense of the story that I wanted to share. And with that, I think we've got some time for questions. So if people have any, I'd love to try and answer them. So I'll wait for the mic people to come up and then see if there are any questions.